Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni, joined by Cody Thompson, my co-host. Hello, Cody.
Hey, Pat.
We've got Tracy Noble on mic.
Hi, Pat.
Tracy's not sure how much she wants to talk, but we've got her on here just in case. And off mic, we've got Matt, our trusty engineer. How you doing, Matt? Matt nods. That's good. All right, Cody, what are we going to talk about today?
Who is your hero?
Who is your hero? So this, we're going to see where this one goes. This is pretty liberal artsy, but it has to do with leadership and management. So heroes, we are fascinated with them from movies, books, TV shows, history. Most of us have probably watched hundreds of movies in our lives about heroes, superheroes, military heroes, crime-fighting heroes, saints. But what exactly makes someone a hero? I looked in the dictionary today and it said people who perform noble acts of courage or display character. And there's an implication in that, and one that we need to recognize, and that's that being a hero implies risking the possibility, even the likelihood, and in the long run, even the certainty of suffering. That's right, suffering. And nobody really wants to talk about suffering, but it's inevitable. And it seems to be the predominant goal of most people to avoid it. And yet without suffering, we can't grow, we can't learn, we can't experience the joy of relief, and we can't be heroes. And so every single book or movie or true story about heroism involves suffering. Sometimes the hero actually dies in the midst of it. Sometimes they're never redeemed in the minds of society till long after they've died. And who in the world would want that? Not very many people, which is why we don't have that many heroes in society. Probably throughout history, there aren't that many heroes. Most people would be glad to be known as a hero, but few are willing to endure what a hero endures. And that's why there aren't more amazing leaders also in the world. It's why so many people struggle with the CEOs they work with or their managers, because deep down inside, we all want to work for a hero, someone who will stand up for what's right and good and true, even in the face of persecution or unpopularity or rejection. But we don't necessarily want to risk those things ourselves. And we can see where this leads, right? Everyone else is waiting for somebody else to be a hero and to be a heroic leader. And until that changes, until more people readily step up and accept the possibility and even the inevitability of suffering for what's good, we'll see society and our organizations suffer more and more. Someone has to be willing to say, I'll go first. That's true in any context, including our places of work. And that's what we're going to talk about today, being a real hero at work.
Mm-hmm.
All righty.
Yeah. And you know, what's so interesting about that, Pat, is when you brought this topic to us to discuss and to actually dive in a little bit, I love the sort of counterintuitive aspect of this, where when we tend to think of heroes, we think of these big, like courageous activities. Like we tend to think in terms of superheroes and movies and these monumentous acts. And then when you apply it to our lives and our day in and day out at work, it actually is like, what are these tiny things, like these moments that you step into, like you said, that you stand up for something that's not right. And that's true. Those people are heroes too. It doesn't always have to have a car exploding in the background. It's these really tiny moments.
Yep.
And a lot of people let them go by.
Right. You know, and so here are some moments of truth or moments of heroism or potential at work. It'd be like risking being rejected by an employee for telling him or her the truth about their performance. That's a heroic thing to do because it's in their best interest and you might get punished for it. They might go tell people bad things about you. He's a terrible manager. You know, You might someday get fired for standing up for what you believe is right in a company that's corrupt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and this was so interesting because you were reading this, what you just read to start, and we were thinking of examples. And it wasn't until 10 minutes ago that I thought about this story, but my wife, her last role at a workplace was she worked for a nonprofit and she saw something that they did in this meeting that was unethical. And she actually went to her boss and her colleagues and said, hey, I'm not going to be a part of meetings like that if they go this way. And it caused more people came to rescue the, like to try to make her conform, like, hey, don't worry about it. And she stood up for what was right and eventually had to quit, was like the legal or like HR got involved. And by the end of the whole process, she was like, I don't know if I want to work here anymore. And she quit. And I like am seeing her in a whole new light for that experience. That was heroic for her to do.
Truly.
Yeah.
And yet that's not going to make it into a movie.
No.
And there was no music playing in the background. You know, here's another one. You might get overlooked for a promotion for not telling the CEO or the boss what they want to hear. I got a message from a priest recently who said, I stand up for what's right. And as a result, I don't know if I'm ever going to get promoted to the next role.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's heroism. And he was so lonely for this.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that that's where this whole conversation about heroes has to take on a sort of a different idea for us, because at the end of all those movies, there's like some happy resolution.
Usually. You know,
it's like usually the heroes win, but in reality, that's not always the case. Like my wife, there was no redemption there. She just stood up for what was right. And that was the end of that chapter.
Right.
You know?
Right. It's like Braveheart.
Right.
Braveheart at the end, they torture him and he dies.
The end.
Yelling freedom or something like that.
Yeah.
And he dies. And which is what makes that movie so powerful, is that it doesn't always work out well for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, if you're doing it for goodness and truth, there's good things awaiting you if you're a hero, but that's eternity and that's a different podcast. The truth is, though, if you judge whether or not you want to be a hero by whether or not you're definitely going to get rewarded for it, you probably won't ever be one.
Yeah. It was interesting because we always, Tracy and Pat and I get together before and we try to come up with anecdotes or stories. Like we work with so many companies and we have stories of so many leaders, and it was hard to come up with. We were like, what are the stories where people did this? What our clients and these micro moments where they were heroic? And it was harder than it should be.
Yeah,
exactly. And
it's a much easier thing for us to talk about like the anti-heroes, like the woman from the Bad Blood, you know, book.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember the CEO.
Elizabeth Holmes.
Right.
And it's so easy to come up with all of these stories of people that are anti-heroes, and instead of the ones where...
You know, our society today celebrates that.
Right.
Yeah.
Anti-heroes, that's most of the shows that come out now, most of the movies. And you know, my kids think I'm just a grumpy old man, and maybe I am, I don't know. But like so many movies, my wife and I will be watching it with him and I go, well, this isn't even a good person.
That's right.
Like, it doesn't matter. It's like, they're getting rewarded for doing bad things. And are you rooting for them? Well, kind of. You know, and you think about, wow, how upside down the world has gotten that we root for bad characters.
I know.
And I do think that we live in a time when heroism is pretty, a little bit dry in the workplace and in other things.
Yeah, I do remember growing up, like, I mean, I was a fan of Superman, and there was part of what I loved about, like, there was the whole Smallville era of Superman, which is maybe not popular. I don't know. I'm not like in that world, but the idea that he like lived on a farm in Kansas and was like kind of a good old boy and like cared about, you know, people and values. And I was like, that's great. And then now it's like you turn on the TV.
That wouldn't sell today.
You like cheer for revenge or something. You know,
right.
It's shifted for sure.
I love Batman and Spider-Man mainly because, and Batman even more, he's grittier. He suffers. He can't benefit from what he does.
Yeah.
He has to suffer for other people. And I think that's a better hero model. And he never gets celebrated at the end. He's kind of always in the dark and always has to kind of stay back. And I think that's really cool, but I don't know that it's something people really want.
Totally.
You know, one of the other things we see is that people get sometimes at work, if they stand up for a colleague who's being mistreated, that can get them dismissed or rejected in the culture. And I worked with a CEO recently who his board wanted him to get rid of somebody. And I understood why, and even some of the people who worked on his team did, but it wasn't fair and it wasn't right. Mm-hmm. And he was brand new. And he just said, we can't do this. It's not the right thing. And I was like, he did that not because he was going to get rewarded for it, but because it was the right thing to do.
Mm.
And I love that. I look back at my career and I'm trying to think of all the times that managers I've worked for or consulted to did heroic things. And I will say, I don't know that the business world has as much heroism in it as I would hope.
I don't think you're going to like that I say this, Pat, but I saw it in you. I've worked for
I'm
you.
No, definitely. Let's think of other things.
No, I know you're not going to like this, but I've seen you do it over, I've worked for you for 25, 26 years. And just the whole concept of the kind truth, that whole thing with you, I mean, you were the one that always stood up and told the kind truth. And that's why I've worked with you for such a long time. So I've seen it in you. And I'm sorry. I know that's a little awkward for you, but
well, we can edit that out.
It's right? true. It's true.
And I will say that, but there's been times I know that I've not stepped up to that because I was like, yeah, because it's painful.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't get rewarded for it. And you have to be like, that's okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I do think that there's two things going on too, which is one, we haven't identified that as an act of heroism. You know, like when you think of that's heroes, right. we don't think of those moments. We need to start thinking of it that way. And two, we have to start recognizing it and celebrating it. You know, that's how
I agree.
Things get reinforced is like when you see someone doing that, to go there, like I haven't talked to Lindsay since we had this conversation. I'm going to go home and be and tell her like, hey, you know how proud I am of you that you stood up that way, even in the midst of losing your job. And more people that hear that message is, you know, and the more times we can celebrate that, I think people are spurred to do that more.
It's so true.
And maybe they do exist more than we know, but in the moment, we don't see it as heroic moments because there's no dramatic music playing in the background and there's no dramatic speech about good versus evil, even that if that's what's at stake. And it's usually just a subtle comment in the hallway or somebody speaking up at a meeting or sending off that email and saying, I got to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. Those are heroic moments and we need to recognize them for ourselves and others so we can celebrate those.
Mm-hmm. And Tracy, you made a good point as we were talking about this is why don't people do this?
Yeah.
Like, why don't they?
Yeah, it's they hate conflict.
Right.
Yeah, they just don't. It's so uncomfortable.
See, that's the thing. No hero, whether it's a superhero or a saint or George Washington or Abraham Lincoln, nobody became a hero without conflict and
that's
without
right.
suffering.
That's right.
And our society today, I think, hates both of those things.
That's mm-hmm. true.
Well, and the thing is, if the stakes are low, then it's not,
it's, you not,
know,
heroism. It's not
heroic, you know? So if there's no stakes at all, that's just called common sense
that's
and
right.
you're being a decent human being. When you have to step out, like you said, conflict. And, you know, I think that there is this sentiment, and you had mentioned it, Pat, and I think earlier this week around, so collectively, somehow we've agreed to going to our place of work for 8 hours a day and trying not to rock the boat.
That's right.
The collective sentiment is, hey, you know what? Let's just all get by. We'll cash our checks. We'll go home and to our families and we're providing for them. Anything that I might risk something or that might cost me something, I shouldn't do.
Right.
But that's the very thing that when you see somebody mistreated or someone's trying to fire someone without it being like the right thing to do, and maybe it's not even about their performance, but where they're at in their life or you know, any of those things, and you stand up for what you think is true and right, that's wonderful. And we got to do more of that.
And you know something? I want people to send us stories mm-hmm. of managers mm-hmm. they've worked for or people in the workplace and or themselves, they can do that, that when there was that moment and you did something truly heroic that we need to be inspired by.
Totally.
Because if people don't hear these stories, they think there's no place for it at work. I had a friend it's of true. Mine who I talked to on the phone today who works in the world of culture and faith ministry and that kind of stuff. He goes, I want to start working in companies because I actually think companies are the biggest problem in our culture because they're the ones teaching people to do the wrong things. Mm. And I thought, really? And he goes, yeah, every time I look around, I think it's happening in companies. Mm. They're the ones that are telling people how to act in ways that aren't good. And so I think we need more examples of real heroism in the organizations where we work.
Right. Mm-hmm. And by that, to be explicit, you mean people standing up for what you think is
people
good.
Engaging in well-intentioned, difficult conflict, even at personal cost to themselves for what is true, good, and beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those kind of things. Hey, you know, it's interesting that we talk about this, and I'm not going to use Jesus as an example because he's God made man and I'm a follower of Jesus. But think about all his followers, and a lot of these are my heroes. I grew up reading the books sure. of the saints. I never realized until I got older that all but one of the apostles was killed. Mm-hmm. So I actually went and looked it up today, and it was like beheading, crucifixion upside down, clubbed to death, thrown off a building and clubbed to death. I mean, these are serious things, and every one of them did that. And let me tell you, nobody picked up their body and paraded around the streets with it like, this is our hero. They died a lonely death for something really important. And so maybe we need to be a little bit more careful about what we portray as heroes in movies and in books, mm-hmm. because if they're not really taking on tough stuff with great risk to never seeing the benefits of that, then it's probably not really heroism.
Well, and I will say, Pat, that you've said this not just on this podcast, but in general, that we'd have a tendency to want to minimize suffering in our lives. Like that's I mean, we do that in many different ways, which is distraction or indulging parts of our lives. And I think that if that's our ultimate goal at companies and as a organization where we're committed to creating healthy organizations so people can be fulfilled at work, I mean, we suffer here. I mean, even right. at our healthy company, we have to push through some stuff. And we've had plenty of podcasts about conflict and about vulnerability, but it actually takes a willingness to enter into something that will be uncomfortable because you know on the other side it's good.
That's right.
If you're listening to this, the same, like being convicted the way that I listen to that sentiment and go, hey, am I really just trying to avoid discomfort? Then you're probably not finding yourself stepping out in any heroic ways.
Right.
That's right. And there's so much more fulfillment living the way we live, leaning into discomfort.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, I think not being heroic makes us feel less about ourselves. That's I think deep down inside, we can go home and go, I should have done that. And I really do think, I read a book once that said, at the end of our lives, the only thing we'll regret is not being a saint. I think we'll be at the end of our lives, we'll go, why didn't I stand up for that person? Why didn't I challenge that for the good of everybody else? You know why? Because I put my good ahead of theirs. And so I think this, I can't wait. I really want people to, because I know there's people out there that have great stories of workplace heroism.
I would love to like have 30 minutes worth of those stories just to read on one podcast. You know, like that would do so much for, because you know it's out there. And even though we had sort of made the joke that like, hey, it was hard for us to come up with these stories, you know that this is happening out there and we need people and to celebrate it. We need examples of this. We need people to celebrate it so that we can emulate it.
You know what's funny? They make all those shows like, I mean, like what's the one, the, gosh, I mean, we watch it all the time where they come up with the business idea and they all, the Shark Tank. And then there's Undercover Boss and The Profit, all these different shows. But what a great thing if somebody actually would just recreate stories of somebody doing something heroic at work. I would watch that.
Yeah.
I would like, now watch what this manager does here. He or this employee is going to stand up and speak up for this. You know, I think all of us crave seeing examples of that.
Totally.
Yeah. But instead we watch a superhero who's actually a bad character. What's that new show called? The Boys?
Right.
Oh my gosh. It's the darkest thing ever. Very entertaining. I haven't watched it. I'm avoiding it, but they're bad characters. Yeah. They're horrible. They're the new superheroes.
It is funny that the Undercover Boss thing, like the stakes are so low there that it's like, hey, he didn't swear at that frontline employee. Exactly. You know, like, hooray, we love that.
And they hugged.
There are some great examples of that on there. I'm not demeaning all of that, but yeah, certainly.
Yeah. So please send us those. Hey, if we get some great story, we will spend a big part of an episode just going through these, telling the stories of people who are heroes in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
But we also want to celebrate a few people that did something for us, right, Trace?
First of all, send us emails to podcast@tablegroup.com.
Got it.
And then I want to give a shout out to several of our loyal listeners who bought lots of Working Genius assessments. It was so cool to see all those.
We asked people to do that last time to check it out.
Yeah. Yes. And last week, we forgot to give Jason Pond a shout out.
Wait, isn't that Pond? Jason Pond. Sorry, I had to do that.
Yes, Jason Pond. Jason Pond actually mapped out his entire team. He sent us a map of his entire team.
The Excel spreadsheet. Fun to look at. I loved it.
So cool.
I love it.
Stephen Holmes bought 71 assessments.
71.
Which is crazy. Thank you, Stephen.
And thank you on the behalf of your team, because people are going to go like, I'm learning about what I'm great at.
Exactly. Louis Jensen bought 50. Nathan Trantham bought another 50, which is so cool. So fantastic. Thank you from
that
all of us.
That is great. We're almost up to 15,000 people purchasing this, right?
Yeah.
And when we get enough, we're going through the data, we're learning all this interesting stuff. We're going to do a special webinar.
And we're getting some great stories too that we'll eventually share with you guys as well.
Lots of fun.
That's right.
So in the meantime, what we want you to do is go think about times where you've seen heroes at work. When you remember them, go tell your wife or your friend or your boss that they were heroic at some point. And try to be a hero yourself, because it's worth it and people benefit from it. All right. That's it for today on At the Table. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next time. God bless.